Please have your Bibles open at Matthew chapter 4, from verse 35, those verses we read just a moment ago. Storms are scary, violent, and destructive. But storms also expose and reveal. If you were to Google when you go home, storms and what they've revealed, and look that up on Google, you would find storms reveal things like forgotten bombs buried along the shoreline from the Second World War, or ships that have sunk, or strange things buried in tree trunks when they hit trees. In fact, in 1850, just one example, a severe storm hit the Orkney Isles in northern Scotland. And it revealed an entire ancient village that we're still digging in and looking at today, giving us a picture of the past. Storms expose and reveal. And in the passage before us today, we have a storm. It's a storm that reveals who Jesus is. I have three headings for you today, 3 points, and I'm going to read them now so we know where we're going. Number one, Jesus understands your physical weakness. Number two, Jesus shows you who you are through storms. And number three, Jesus shows you who he is in storms. So first of all, Jesus understands your physical weakness. Now the passage before us is actually quite strange in Mark's gospel. Mark is known for his brevity. He's succinct. He passes through the life of Jesus very quickly. But in this particular occasion, he gives us much more detail about what happened here in this account of the storm than either Matthew or Luke. It's a bit uncharacteristic of Mark. But the first thing he tells us is when this happened. That's something that the other two Gospels don't tell us. In chapter 4, Jesus has been speaking to his disciples, that is to his followers, his students, and to a large crowd along the seashore. He's been speaking to them all day, of sowers and seeds, of lamps and baskets, giving them many pictures to help them understand what God's kingdom is like. And he's been doing this all day. But then in verse 35, he asked his disciples to take him in a boat across the sea to the other side. And Jesus, it tells us in verse 35, at some point in that journey, goes to the back of the boat, puts his head on a cushion, and falls asleep. Now, in the drama of this passage, and there is a lot of drama here, we might miss that detail or think that it's not important. But it is, because it reminds us that Jesus is a real flesh and blood human being. When we look through the Gospels, we find time and time again examples of Jesus doing things that human beings do, facing the limits of the human body in a fallen world. We see that Jesus gets tired. We see that Jesus weeps. We see that Jesus hurts. We see that Jesus grieves. We see that he goes hungry. And when we're thinking about storms in the Christian life, it's important to remember at the start that the one who leads us into storms understands our physical frailties. He gets it. And we can go to him with our needs, because he's experienced them too. Jesus understands your physical weakness. We must remember that. Number two, Jesus shows you who you are through storms. Now, this storm did not happen because the disciples were disobeying God. It didn't happen because God was displeased with them. They were not being punished. Going across the lake was Jesus' idea. He asked them in verse 35, "Let us cross over to the other side." Facing a storm of difficulty in our lives does not necessarily mean that we failed or that God is displeased with us, because God has something to show us, to teach us through storms. But let's focus on this real, literal storm that the disciples were facing, first of all. In verse 37, we see that it was a sudden storm. It arose suddenly. It's only mentioned that this great windstorm arose after they'd already set off across the lake. There doesn't seem to have been any warning or any indication of it until they were started out on their journey. But it says a great windstorm arose. This storm left them powerless to do anything about it. It says that it was a great windstorm. The word there means a mega windstorm. It tells us also that the waves, because of this storm, became so big, they began to threaten to sink the boat, and the boat was filling up fast. They're powerless. What can they do in the middle of a lake at this time? But also this storm revealed the disciples' weakness. We can see it in verse 38, when they go to him and wake Jesus up, who's sleeping in the back of the boat, and they say, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" The other two gospel accounts have them going to Jesus and asking for help, but only Mark reveals to us that they have become so overwhelmed by fear that they actually accuse Jesus of not caring. And if we still weren't sure that this was the case, that they were afraid at this point, Jesus himself asked them that question, doesn't he? "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Where's your faith gone?" Have we known events in our lives that suddenly spin out of control and expose our weakness? That's a storm. These disciples were in the middle of a lake in a literal storm. Well, we can know storms too, even if we haven't gone through that specific experience. Job did. You remember the story of Job? He lost his family. He died. He lost his property. He lost his health. And he's left there in a rubbish heap, scratching his sores with a broken piece of pot. That's a storm. David, King David, knew storms as well, didn't he? He finds out one day that his son Absalom has betrayed him, that his son Absalom is out to kill him and take his kingdom. And David has to run for his life from people that he thought were his friends. That's a storm. The early church, the early Jerusalem church, knew storms as well. When Saul the Pharisee started hunting down Christians in Jerusalem, grabbing them, throwing them in prison, and even taking them to their death. They had to flee for their lives, men and women in the early church. That's a storm. Now, Jesus warned you and I in John 16, verse 33. He said, in this world you will have tribulation. Jesus will lead you into storms. He has not said to you and I that we will have a trouble-free journey to heaven. So why do we have to go through storms? What is it that God seeks to teach us in storms? When I was a young Christian, looking back, I was extremely self-confident. But since then, I've heard a doctor tell me, your child has died. I've seen people that I love very much going through a great deal of pain or in real danger and felt utterly helpless to do anything about it. Worst of all, there's been those many dark nights where I know I have failed God and sinned yet again. And after all the storms of my life, if I know anything at all anymore, I know this, that I'm not enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not clever enough. I'm not good enough to live the life that God has called me to live. If it is left to me and me alone, I will fail. I will give up. I won't make it to the end. I need help. I'm not enough. Storms make us feel our weakness and teach our foolish hearts how much we need Jesus. That's what storms do. Storms drive us to Jesus, drive us to prayer, drive us to the Word of God, drive us to make use of those other means of grace in the church and fellowship and all those other things, so that through those things we might know our Savior more. And in knowing Him more, we might find peace and rest and joy, and our strength, His strength, made perfect in our weakness. That's why we have to go through storms. Sometimes it's the only way that we will learn the lessons. Jesus shows you who you are through storms. Number three, Jesus shows you who He is in storms. Look at verse 38. In fear and desperation, they wake Jesus up and they ask Him to help them. And Jesus gets up and He rebukes the wind and says to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind stops howling. And the sea isn't just calm. Look at verse 39. It says, and there was a mega calm. The sea is as still can be. Now, how do Jesus' friends, His disciples, respond? Do they jump up in joy? Do they sigh in relief? No. No. Verse 41 tells us they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey Him? They feared exceedingly. They were afraid before, but now they're even more afraid. What's going on? When you go through your life, through your experience, you start to work out and put people into categories. It's not necessarily a good thing, but we do it, don't we? See someone and they come towards us and they're angry, or they have a particular accent, or they do things in a particular way. We kind of put them into, well, we say, well, that's that kind of person because of the experiences I've had, and that's that person. And of course, that is flawed, and that's limited, but that's what we do automatically. Here, the disciples realize they're in the presence of someone who they cannot really understand. The power that Jesus has just displayed is beyond anything that they have seen or can understand. It leaves them stunned. It leaves them awed. It leaves them terrified. But what of their question? Who can this be? Well, there is only one person who has this kind of power. He's the one who made the sea and the sky. He's the one who split the Red Sea and the Jordan so the Israelites could walk across. He's the one whose voice that we heard of in Psalm 29, with its great power, is able to command the sea. And in Psalm 89, verse 9, it tells us that this one rules the raging of the seas and stills the rising waves. The main point of this passage is very simple. Mark has been spending his gospel up until now showing us who Jesus is through the various things that Jesus does. He shows us Jesus healing people, driving out evil spirits. He shows us that Jesus has power over illness, that Jesus has power over evil spirits, that Jesus has the power to heal broken bodies. He shows us that Jesus has the power to forgive sin, to deal with guilt. He's shown us that Jesus is the Lord and owner of God's day, the Sabbath. And now he shows us that Jesus has power over nature itself. Absolute power. Who is this Jesus? Jesus is God, the creator and sustainer of heaven and earth. But think about what that means. As we're hearing this morning, it means that God himself, who deserves all worship and all praise, didn't stand on his rights, but humbled himself and became a man. With all the limits of the faculties of a real human being, and allowed himself to be betrayed, beaten, and nailed to a cross to die, becoming obedient even to death, even the death of the cross, where he took the torment and shame for these men and for you and I, for their sin and ours, so that we could be forgiven, given everlasting life and a home in heaven, because he is willing to show us that much pity, that much selfless love, that much mercy towards weak, foolish people like you and I. That's who this Jesus is. Jesus, the terrifyingly strong, but also Jesus, the shocking, overwhelmingly kind one. If those men, those disciples, had known who was there in the boat with them, do you think they would have been overcome by fear? I don't think they would have. When we face the circumstances of life in this broken world, the storms, the difficulties, the things that go wrong, the pain, when we're paralyzed and overwhelmed by fear, has that happened to you? Have there been times in your life where you've been really afraid? Where you're not able to do anything else but be afraid? Or that angst in the background where you just don't know what you're going to do? Friends, when we're like that, as Christians, as God's people, it tells us that our view of God is too low. That's why we need storms, to teach us who God is, to give us a clearer sight of his power and his might, so that we might learn not to be afraid, but to trust him. If Jesus is God, then nothing is impossible for him. It wasn't wrong for the disciples to go and wake Jesus up and ask for help. That's what faith does. Faith in difficulty runs to Jesus. In Psalm 50, verse 15, God has been laying out what it is that he wants from his people, what he wants from you and I. And he says this in Psalm 50, verse 15, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." We can call out to this God in however difficult our circumstances may be. And he is able to do what seems impossible because of who he is, because of his mighty power, and because he loves us. That means that by his power we can know peace in the midst of storms. It means that there can be a way out of that temptation. It does mean that we can be given the strength and the grace to endure even the most difficult circumstances. It means that if you are a child of God, you will be brought all the way through whatever storm you're facing. Night will give way to day in the end. And sorrow will give way to joy. Because Jesus is God. And he's your Savior who's died for you and loves you. It's weak faith that tries to carry on without asking God for help. It's strong faith that in trouble runs to Jesus. It's strong faith that has learned the lessons of storms. When you come to church, when you open your Bible at home, when you pray, do you have anything of this view of Jesus? Do you have this high view? Do you remember that this is one who, yes, is your Savior, yes, is your friend, Christian, but is also the maker of heaven and earth, who with just one command stilled the seas? The one with whom nothing should be impossible. These men were terrified. But later on, as we go through the Gospel of Mark, we find that there are times when they're still afraid, but there are times when they learn that the right answer is to worship. Do we have that view of Jesus? When we come to church and we're worried about the different things that are going on and we want things to be done in the right way and all those things, that's good, yes. But the big question is this. What's our view of God? What's our view of Jesus? Are we coming with gratitude? But are we coming recognizing that this is the God of amazing, awesome strength and might, who gives us everything that we need? Jesus has promised to be with us. He has promised to help us. He puts us in storms so that we might know more of who he is. Because faith is grown in stormy weather. Finally, I just want to turn to those of you who may not yet be sure that you are a Christian. You may know for certain that you're not. I'll ask you this question. What will you do in your next storm? What will you do the next time that circumstances spiral beyond your control? When you feel weak, where will you turn to? Do you know anything of this kind of faith, this kind of trust in Jesus? That he calls us to, the faith that runs to him, that knows who he is, that knows that he can help, he can do the impossible. Where does that faith come from? How do you get it? The Bible tells us that this kind of faith is the gift of God. We need to ask him to change us, ask him to give us this faith. These men failed this time. Their weakness of their faith was on display, and it happened many times. Eventually, they were able to provide the answer to the question they ask here, and say later on in the Gospel of Mark and in the other Gospels too, that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God. But they still failed. They still got scared. And when Jesus was betrayed and went to that cross, they all ran away, and they all hid, overcome by fear again. What did Jesus do when he rose again? Did he leave them? Did he say, "That's it? You failed one too many times"? No, he went, found them, hiding, restored them, forgave them, and sent them out into this world to be his messengers. Friend, if we have weak faith, if we have failed, and if we have become paralyzed by fear, it doesn't mean that it's the end for us. Because this Jesus is strong and kind, and he will not let go of us. Our final song today speaks of an anchor for our soul. When troubles tear through our lives, in Jesus we have a steadfast and sure hope grounded in his promises to us. We may wonder whether we will last, but if we are his unchanging love and faith, and the faith he has given us, will hold us fast. Let's sing.
Strong tides hit and became a strain. When your anchor
Father, we thank you and worship you that you gave us your Son. We thank you and worship you that if we are yours, we are grounded in his love, even though we may feel afraid, even though we may think and feel as though we will fail. It is you, it is your Son who has said that those who have come to him can never be taken out of his hand. Lord, we thank you that we can trust him. Lord, in the storms of life, in those difficult times when things are swirling seemingly out of control, help us to learn a clearer sight of who our Jesus is, that we might worship him more aright, that we might trust him more, that at the first sign of trouble, we would run to him. Lord, those in our midst who are still far from you, who are still trying to live this life by their own wisdom, by their own strength, help them to see that they need Jesus too. That in the end, their own wisdom and strength will fail them, and in the end they will be left outside with no hope, outside of your kingdom. Lord, please, in your mercy, help them to see the wonder of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is infinitely strong and endlessly kind to those who come to him. Father, we pray all these things. Help us this week to remember them. In Jesus' name, amen.